Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson on News Talk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
Hi, folks. Charlie Cochran live in the KSRO studio with you every Monday from noon to 12:30. I come in here with my partner, Rachel Erickson, and we talk about some aspect of the law. We also give out free legal advice. If you'll give us a call at 636-1350, that's 636-1350, we'll give you free legal advice out over the air. Now, if you call and we can't answer your question, we'll direct you to an attorney that can. Today, I thought we'd talk about government claims, government suing the government. Can you do that and when? Well, we have a number of government claims going on at any given time. We have collected lots of money for injured people through the fault of others that were government employees or actually injured through the fault of the government. We're going to explain that claims process to you. And if you have any questions, give us a call down here at 636-1350. Now, it was said in ancient England that you can't sue the king or you can't sue the queen unless they say you can. It's true here in the United States, too. There's a federal process if you want to sue the federal government. There's naturally a state process. It used to be called the Government Tort Claims Act. Now it is called, since about 2002, it's called the Government Claims Act, because we realize not all damages are tort damages. That is civil fault due to the fault of another. We have real estate claims against the government, possibly, a taking. We have contract breaches. We have different things. So you can make a number of different claims. It's not just personal injury anymore.
And who are you talking about when you talk about the government? What do you mean? That's a pretty ambiguous term.
Okay, I'm talking about all state institutions, the state government, the county government, the city government, municipal claims, suing a city, suing school districts, suing any branch of the what we'll call the government, not just the state. It can be the county at fault. I had a case once where a state employee rear-ended two fishing buddies that were going to the lake to fish, and the state employee rear-ended them, and I made a claim with the state of California. And they said, yes, you have a claim. You don't need to file a lawsuit. You have a claim. In my 37 years of experience, that's the only time the claim was ever acknowledged.
And when we were talking about this, I just about fell out of my chair because I'm like, wait, you had one accepted once? Because I've been practicing for 17 years now, and I've never had one accepted. They always deny it, and that's part of the procedure, and the way we look at it is we wait for the denial letter and then on you go.
As some of you know, I used to be on the Rohnert Park City Council, and whenever anybody sued the city, we actually put them on what they call the consent agenda, which was we don't even talk about it. They just get denied automatically. So every claim was denied. And so we would routinely deny these claims. Now, in order to sue the government, you have to have attorneys that know how to do that.
And it is so easy to mess this up. And I've had people come to me that had hired attorneys that didn't do this correctly. And sometimes you can't fix it. Occasionally you can, but a lot of times if you get the wrong procedure, you cannot fix it and you've lost your right to bring a claim. So listen carefully, folks, on what the law is, because it's on a tightened time frame. Yes, you can look it up online, but some of these things get kind of confusing, and you know, it's one of those things where you don't want to lose your rights. So your best bet is to contact an attorney that knows what they're doing.
Even the state government says if you look up, California government claim, they'll start talking about the procedures for filing a claim. And then almost every paragraph says, but this is very complicated and call a lawyer. And I'm going to even go farther and say, call a lawyer that knows what they're doing, because it's really easy to screw this up, like Rachel said. First of all, if you're going to sue the state of California or the county of Sonoma or the city of Santa Rosa or any government entity, you have to comply with the claims procedure. That is, you have to file a notice of claim within 6 months.
And that notice is very particular. But I also wanted to point out here that one of the things that I have learned over the years that most people don't know, and most attorneys don't know this either, but even if you need to sue a private school, say there's a sexual abuse or some bullying that's going on and, you know, some real bad stuff has gone down and you need to sue a private school, for example, if they accept any type of federal funding, let's say a free lunch program, for example, anything like that, you can use this procedure to actually make a claim against that entity.
Now, if first of all, you have to file a notice of claim within 6 months. If you don't do that, you can still file a claim, but you have to file what they call an application for late claim. And that is within the next 6 months. So you have to do that and you have to show good cause. For example, you have to show that you made a mistake, inadvertence, excusable neglect, that you were injured and unable to file a claim, that you were in prison.
Or you're a minor.
There's different exceptions, but you have to show.
But just saying, I don't know the law is not ever a good excuse. Never. Because you have access to clinics. You have access to attorneys. Most attorneys will give you a free consultation, even for government claims. So you have no reason to make this mistake. And you're really much better just getting it in within the 6 months, if at all possible. And the mistake that I see a lot on the form is there are paragraphs for describing what the claim is, describing when it happened, describing what the damages are, all those things. And there are spaces where you can fill them in and people don't fill those out correctly. And it just drives me insane because then they come back to me and go, well, they denied my claim. Now what do I do? And I'm like, well, if you had to come to me first, I could have filled that out correctly and they still would have denied it. But now you've locked yourself into a position that you shouldn't have because you didn't fill out the form correctly.
So let's say you do fill this notice of claim out properly. What the government body has to do is rule on the claim within 45 days. If they do not rule on the claim within 45 days,
which means deny it.
If they don't deny it, it's deemed denied. In other words, you have to assume it was denied after 45 days. And then you have to bring your lawsuit within the next 45 days. So you've got to be on top of this if you're going to actually sue an employee that committed negligence, or if the government somehow ripped off your land, or if you have been your contract has been breached by the county or something like that. You've got to follow a very strict claims procedure. So please do that. If you have any questions, call us down at the office at 544-9006 and we'll be happy to talk to you and talk you through it. If you have a claim against a government entity, and we have done many, many claims against the government, and by that I mean things like trip and falls on a sidewalk.
Which are tricky in and of themselves because it depends on the location as to whether the property owner is responsible or whether the county is responsible or the city or who's responsible in those situations. That's tricky in and of itself.
It is, as a matter of fact, because you've got You've got cities that are charter cities and cities that are incorporated cities, and the trip and fall or the different, it depends on what the claims procedure is. It depends on the statute, the government claim statute. But then again, there could be a city ordinance in effect that said the property owner is responsible, let's say, for this out to the curb. So that means if there's a trip and fall on a sidewalk, the property owner might be 100% at fault.
Or might be 50% or might not be at all. And some of those statutes say that the property owner, and we're talking like commercial properties, a store or something that's on a street, let's say one of the stores on 4th Street, for example. Well, it wouldn't be here, but in certain cities, there will be a city ordinance that says that the property owner owns the property out to the center of the road. So if you have a pothole issue, as you can see, it gets really, really complicated. And if you don't know who you're claiming against for what, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble. So we just keep saying, please, don't try to take these on yourself. And we haven't even gotten into suing school districts for sexual abuse, which we do need to talk about that, and which entities might be liable for what, because that's a whole other thing. But continue with your general procedures before we get into specifics.
Well, when we're talking about the city, we're usually talking about, a traffic collision by a city employee. We're talking about trip and falls on sidewalks. We're talking about different things that the employees of a city or a county or a state might be liable for. When we're talking about school districts, you have to follow the claim procedure as well. If we're talking about public schools or even private schools that receive state or federal funding, the procedure might be a little bit different. So you need to talk to attorneys that know how to do that. Now, we've had claims against high schools. We've had claims against the city, naming several. I mean, I had a bicyclist going down a hill in the city of Novato, and there was cracks in the roadway, in the pavement, that they had known about for a long time, and the bicyclist got their tire stuck in one of the cracks and flipped the bicycle over, and the city is at fault for that. So you've got the city being at fault, you've got school districts that are at fault for doing where their employees do really stupid things. Like I had a case where a wrestling coach let the wrestling team go out on the baseball field and play tackle football without any pads.
No helmets, no protection whatsoever.
Now, I mean, that's really stupid. So you've got a lot of situations that come up. But if you have a question about that, you can give us a call down at the office at 544-9006. We're going to get into different other factual situations after the break. I'm Charlie Cochran with Rachel Erickson, and this is Monday's edition of Ask the Expert.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio, 103.5, 94.5, KSRO.
Hi, this is Rachel Erickson with Kornblum, Cochran, Erickson, and Harbison. I am so excited to be able to announce that I am now practicing in the area of family law. If you need help with your divorce, child or spousal support, or custody issues, give me a call down at the office at 707-544-9006.
For more information, go to kcehlaw.com. That's kcehlaw.com.
Yes, we know it can be an emotional time if your home is infested with termites, bed bugs, spiders, ants, what have you. It happens in the cleanest of homes. So be calm, take a big, soothing, cleansing breath, and say,
Clark, we need you!
That'll work.
Clark Pest Control. Call for your free inspection. Clark will rid your home and yard of pests and keep them away. So be calm. Talk to us at 1-800-WE-NEED-YOU or clarkpest.com. Say, Clark, we need you.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
It's Ask the Expert with attorneys Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson on Newstalk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
Hi, folks. Charlie Cochran live in the KSRO studio with you. As you know, KSRO is on 1350 AM, 94.5 FM, and 103.5 FM, and you can listen to us at all three of those stations. So give us a call down here at the studio if you have a question at 636-1350. Now, today we're talking about how to sue the government if you need to. Rachel brought up a really good point that the public employee doesn't necessarily have to be on the job. If they're going and coming from home, the general rule is they're not in the scope of their employment yet. But there's a lot of exceptions to that, right?
There are. And I really don't want to go into the particulars right now because I could spend really easily a half an hour on this. And it is my intention to write an article for the Plaintiff Magazine, which is a statewide magazine for plaintiff's attorneys, on this because there have been so many changes within the last 3 years. As I say now and again on this show, you think the law is the law is the law, but it isn't. And it changes. And sometimes for the better in our position and sometimes for the worse in our position. And it is a living, breathing, moving thing. And that's something that maybe a lot of people don't really clue into. But this pick that's going to happen today for the Supreme Court seat that has been vacated will be extremely important to our profession. And in the end, it will affect anybody that needs to bring claims later for new issues that keep cropping up, especially in terms of the hashtag MeToo movement, sexual abuse, LGBTQI issues. All of those kind of issues are going to start coming up, and the more conservative the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court bench is, the less likely we're going to have progressive laws in that area. That's just a prediction. We'll wait and see what happens today, but that was just kind of a shout out to why there's something exciting and interesting and a little scary happening today. So, and government claims. Okay, so back to that. I don't want to go on too much about the going and coming rule because, as I said, the rules have changed drastically and there's all these exceptions. And what if they're just on a side trip? And then the definitions of that have changed drastically over the last few years. But what I do want to talk about that I thought has been really interesting because the law has changed quite a bit, especially since 2001 with the sexual abuse with the Roman Catholic Church. We all know that it's there. So I'm not asking about anybody's feelings about that. I'm just saying that, you know, that was an issue and still is an issue. And because of the awareness of that, the laws around sexual abuse, statutes of limitation in particular, the laws across the board have changed drastically. And the statutes of limitations have changed within the last couple of years and will probably continue to change as more awareness comes out about that. So I just wanted to put that out there and that I did want to put out there that these school claims are, you know, both for sexual abuse and especially for bullying are coming to the forefront more and more. There's going to be a lot of new laws coming up. Right now, it's very difficult to bring a case for bullying, but you can. And it should be done a lot more often because there are some really clear, issues that come out about that that are pretty obvious. Beatings at school that are caught on video that you see online, stuff like that. But even just harassment so that it ends in a suicide of a child. All of those things are actionable, and the government entity is going to be the school district usually.
Well, these coach cases where you've got a swimming coach or a ladies basketball coach or something like that, you know, actually doing sexual harassment to their team members or things like that. That's been in the paper a lot.
A lot. And thankfully, it's coming out more and more, and hopefully it's stopping because these things are very damaging to people. And it's not gender specific. It's coming out more and more that males have been hurt by this, too. It's not just you know, that women are hurt, men are too. And I'm grateful for that. So it used to be way back in the day when people didn't believe that sexual abuse or harassment meant anything or that it happened or whatever denials were in place. It used to be, you know, back in the day that the statute of limitations for those claims was the same as it used to be for any kind of civil tort claim. And that was 1 year. You had 1 year from when the thing happened or 1 year from the date of your 18th birthday to bring a claim. That's the old rule. It got increased to 2 years, so it was 2 years for a while. Now it has changed, and the interesting thing about the change in the sexual abuse laws is that the government is not exempted this time, and it specifically states there are cases, there are opinions, there are bills being passed that say that the government is not exempt from the new statute of limitations, which is if this happens when you're a minor. And if you try to read the statute, it is so confusing. I mean, even to me as a lawyer, I'm like, what are they trying to say here? But basically, the statute of limitations is if it happens when you're a minor, you have 8 years until 8 years after the age of majority. So 8 years after you turn 18, if once you're 26, that statute runs. So, and it runs with your birthday, not the date that the thing happened, because it could have been going on for years. So that's a very generous statute. Now, if it happens when you're actually an adult, you're over 18 and these things happen, you have 3 years from either the date it happened or the date that you realize that you're suffering from some sort of kind of, you know, psychological illness or injury that is because of that. It's either you discovered it or you should have discovered it. It's 3 years from that time. And like what that looks like, I mean, it sounds very ethereal, but what that looks like is you're 21 and your brother comes to you and says, you know, I was in my therapy session and I remember when, you know, coach so-and-so, you know, molested me when I was 19 and in college. And and then the sister says, oh God, is that why I'm so like freaked out around these certain situations? And she goes and gets a little therapy and, you know, figures out, yeah, that's, you know, what's causing this huge anxiety, PTSD, whatever. She gets 3 years from the date of discovery to go ahead and make a claim. And that would be, for state colleges, that's included in the governmental entity statutes. So that's how those work. So you do get extra time for those. And you know, whether as if you have a minor who has been harassed or abused by a school official or, you know, a teacher or even a fellow student, the question often tends to be, do you want to bring the claim now while the kid is still a minor, or do you want to wait until they get a little older? Because you can wait. And sometimes it's better and sometimes it's worse. And it's really on a case by case basis.
Yeah. We're suing a school district right now, on behalf of a young girl that was only a kindergartner when she was, molested by a third grader. And, that we decided to go ahead and go forth with the claim, and we're in the midst of litigation on that right now. We're in the midst of suing Santa Rosa, the city of Santa Rosa, for a trip and fall due to a pothole.
But I also, in the sexual abuse, before we leave that topic, of course you can sue the person, the actual person that committed the it's a crime, for one thing, depending on the nature of the act, it can be a crime, but you can also sue the individual civilly, and there are specific statutes on that too, but that's beyond the scope of today's discussion.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, though, if it's an intentional act, it's probably not going to be covered by insurance, because the California Insurance Code Section 533 says that the insurance companies cannot insure an intentional act. It's interesting, though, corporations can buy sexual harassment insurance. There is a type of insurance that they can buy. So if sometimes if it's done in a corporate setting and they have purchased that kind of insurance for their managers, or their supervisors, et cetera, you may be able to expose the insurance company.
And it would be interesting sometime. We should probably just do a show on some of the weird war stories we have on just, you know, claims in general. But this area tends to be very odd, and the people that commit these types of acts do so in very odd ways and try and get out of it in very odd ways. And these cases, but any of the cases we have a lot of really interesting ones, and we should, you know, with the permission of the clients, you know, discuss them without names or anything, but discuss some of those cases, because there are some pretty interesting ones out there. Often, if we settle a case, we're subject to a confidentiality clause, so we can't talk about it, but sometimes, you know, not. And so we can, you know, with the client's permission, we can talk about the facts of the case and, you know, maybe if it's a government entity, what the entity is. The sexual abuse claims also, sometimes it's, let's say, the foster care system is another one. So you see these claims crop up in different areas where a foster parent maybe has a history of molesting multiple foster children, and the foster parent entity should have known about it. And knew or should have known is a pretty broad brush to paint with.
Well, you see right now the parents of Andy Lopez suing the city of Santa Rosa. Or, you can be the county of Sonoma. You can have a number of different entities that might be found to be at fault for their misconduct of their employees, potentially.
Potentially.
Yeah. So anyway, if you have a question about how to bring an action against a school district, a fire district, a police department, a sheriff's department, etc., give us a call down at the office at 544-9006. That's 544-9006. And you will end up talking to me or Rachel, probably. So,
and I hope we've pounded it into you how difficult these claims are, how specific they are, how easy it is to take the wrong path and mess up your own claim. And so we're begging you, if you have a claim and you deserve compensation for something, some wrong that somebody's done to you, at least ask an attorney, go for a free consultation. In this area, we'll always give you a free consultation, and you know, we'll advise you on how we think you should proceed, whether your claim is valid, whether, you know, how you should make a claim. We'll give you some free advice on that. So free consultation down at the office.
Okay, you've been listening to Charlie and Rachel on Monday's edition of Ask the Expert.